Good morning, everybody. Thanks. I feel welcomed. It's an honor to get to speak to you all again this morning and to take on the second installment. That seems like the wrong word, but the second message of our Lessons to Live By Wisdom from Proverbs. And so I actually want to begin by asking all of you a question. And the question is this: where have you placed your trust? Is your trust placed in yourself, in what you can do, in your job, in your circumstances? What actually has your focus and your attention? I've learned in my own life that I want to trust God. I want God to be the answer to what I am trusting in. But sometimes I notice that instead of holding on to and leaning into God with all of my trust, I'm actually gripping fear or disappointment or hurt. Or I'm holding pride or wanting my own way in a situation and actually thinking that somehow I know better, which according to Proverbs is foolishness. And I've seen firsthand how when I hold on to anything but God, that it sabotages my relationship with Jesus. When I hold on to my fear, when I hold on to my disappointment or my pride over my trust in God, it often robs me of the blessing and the life that God actually had for me. Because I've gone my own way. I've tried to do it myself. If I'm looking at hurt or misunderstanding or even sometimes the circumstances swirling around me, I can stop trusting God. And when I'm going my own way, when I'm doing my own thing, I've learned that the ride often gets bumpier, crazier, twistier than God ever intended for it to be. So this morning, I want to talk with you from Proverbs about how placing your trust in God actually leads to life. Proverbs 3:5-8 says this: trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I love how both of these instructions, trust in the Lord with all your heart, fear the Lord, are both instantly followed by a promise. Trust in the Lord and he will make your path straight. Fear the Lord, turn from evil, and it will be refreshment and life to you. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Fear the Lord. Don't those seem kind of contradictory? But actually, I think trust in the Lord and fear of the Lord go hand in hand. They are so connected. Fear of the Lord is so different than being afraid of someone. I loved when Pastor Dave said last Sunday that fear of the Lord means acknowledging there is a God and it isn't me. It's appreciating God's character and knowing that we don't actually have a full understanding of all of the things. God is fully love, and yet he's fully just. He is merciful, and he is mighty. He is magnificent, and yet humble enough to come as a babe in a manger because of love. Fear of the Lord is having an awe and a wonder of who he is and at his magnificent holiness. It's seeing his wonder and power that can produce faith in us. When the Israelites watched the sea part and they walked through on dry land and then saw the seas come on their enemies be defeated, their awe and wonder and fear of the Lord grew. Who is this God that we serve? It increased their faith. That's the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord means acknowledging that He is a God of justice. He is the only true judge. He knows the deepest places of our hearts and our thoughts. And yet, there's no sin in God. And yet, He knows my every sin. For me, this creates a fear of the Lord in a way that I want to know Him more. I want to be changed, to be more like Him who is perfect and holy and who knows all things. He desires to make me more like Him day by day. That's amazing. So amazing. He is worthy of my love and my affection. See, fear of the Lord comes from actually knowing God. And when we begin to actually know who He is, His wonder, His might, His majesty, His character, and His infinite love for us, when we actually start to get to know Him and have a true sense of the fear of the Lord, you start to realize just how much you can trust Him. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be protected." Big difference. When we fear man, we start to live to please man because their opinion matters more, because we think what they think is more important somehow, and it brings a snare. But if we can trust in the Lord, if we can put our trust and live according to God's ways, live according to trust and surrender to Him, we will be protected. Death no longer holds such power over us. But when we fear man, we lose sight of God and it trips us up. Over and over again, are you living to please God or are you living to please man? Proverbs 14:26-27 says, "In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge." Hear that promise again? The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. Other fear takes away from us. When we live by fear and make our decisions according to fear, it can actually rob us of things. It can rob us of joy. It can rob us of the life that God actually has ahead for us. When we fear man, we can do stupid things. It trips us up. But if we fear the Lord, it brings life. It brings confidence. It brings refuge. What amazing fruit actually comes from the fear of the Lord. They're very different. And I want to take a little bit of a segue here to show you a really embarrassing video of myself. So it's a video that actually shows the foolishness when we hold on to fear instead of placing our trust in what we should. It's a video that makes me look really, really wimpy, okay? So just to preface before we watch this, I want you to know that it's taken at the Sky Park, but before this video happened, I did the like high ropes course, both levels. I did the zip line, okay? I did the things. Even though my heart was pounding out of my chest, I did the things, all right? Or maybe while you're watching, you remember when I told you a story of when Andrew's bike got stolen and then I faced the guys and I got it back. I was the hero in that story, okay? So just think about that, okay? Think about that as you watch this. If it comes. If not, I'll just have to, oh, there we go.
Good job, babe. She's climbing up and down just to do the extra. And you look over here. Oh, it's Alexis. She's going for it. Come on, you got it, Alexis. Just so hold, don't let go, hold on to the rope with both hands, grab on. Have faith. It's like a roller coaster. Let go and hold on. You got it.
So before he started videoing my foolish climb back down the wall, I did make it to the top. I touched the top thing. I was up there. But just so you know, I've heard that some climbing walls, you can feel the tension as you're climbing and as you let go. There is no tension here until you drop for a couple of seconds, and then the tension kicks in. So it's like a free fall for about a second, and then there's the tension, and then you're dropping, okay? Just know that. It wasn't until I let go and began to trust my ropes that I could actually feel that they were secure. And as a result, I was holding that wall pretty dang hard. I was holding on to my fear, and because of my fear, I started climbing back down the wall. I needed to trust the rope, and I needed to trust the harness with my life. I made it to the top, no problem. Andrew didn't actually start recording me until he saw just how ridiculous I was being, but I just couldn't let go. That was another story altogether. I knew what I had to do. I knew that I just had to let go and the rope would lower me to the ground. I mean, it was working for everybody else there. It was a busy day. Nobody else was having problems. And I was creating a crowd. Some of the workers were laughing at me. And I just still couldn't let go. I couldn't fall back. I knew I was over halfway down, but I kept holding the rope. I was placing my trust in the wrong place at that moment. My trust was placed in the wall, and I let my fear misdirect my trust. I kept climbing down. Even though I knew what I should do, I struggled to do it. Every time I started to let go, I held again. Before I made the choice to just let go, trusting it to carry me down. Are you trusting God with all of you? Or are you holding on, afraid to let go with that second hand? Afraid to let him have control? Afraid to trust him? Because I think this is a really accurate picture of how much that can steal from us. We start putting in way more effort. We start struggling where we can just let go and rest. God's asking us to rest in him. That where you're struggling, where you're pulling, where you're fighting against, just rest in me. Trust me, and I will help you. There's a few things I want to focus on today that can actually keep us from trusting God with our whole heart. And the first is this: disappointment and heartache can keep us from trusting God. In 1 Kings, we find the story of Elijah. He's this amazing prophet and man of God. He walks in miracles. He hears the voice of God. He predicts a drought and it comes to pass. He sees a widow and her son miraculously fed with a minuscule amount of food. He sees the widow's son raised from the dead. He confronts wicked King Ahab. He sees the prophets of Baal defeated. He watches with faith as the Lord sends the rain. Elijah sends his servant to look for a cloud seven times, and he does not lose heart because he knew the rains were coming. Go look again, because he knew the cloud the size of a man's hand was about to come. He has this amazing track record of trusting God and not leaning on his own understanding. That is until Jezebel comes along. This queen who threatens to torture and kill him. 1 Kings 19, 3-5 says, "Then he was afraid, and he rose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's.' And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, 'Arise and eat.' Elijah is ready to die. And yet God says, no, 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 here. Here's some food. Eat some food. You've now had a nap. This isn't time. It's not time for you to die, Elijah. This food sustains him for the next 40 days as he continues to journey to Horeb, the Mount of God. While he is there, the word of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, I think Elijah is feeling heartbroken, disappointed, and very alone in this moment. Despite all that he has watched God do, despite the faithfulness that he's seen of God, he is discouraged. He's also witnessed many prophets be struck down and killed. Many of those would have been men he'd known well, friends of his. So here's his response to the question, what are you doing here? I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Things have not gone the way Elijah hoped they would. He had been so zealous for the Lord. He had remained faithful when others were turning away. He was walking in courage and boldness, and yet many of his friends are now dead. I think he began to dwell on his own thoughts. I think he was beginning to lean on his own understanding. He was seeing through his fear, and he was seeing through his disappointment and his heartache. Yet God wasn't done with this story. This is not the end of the prophets. Elijah was not the only one left, even though that's how he's seen it. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Again. And again, Elijah responds the same way. I'm the only one. It's only me. And now they want to kill me too. What do you mean? What am I doing here? And God says, Elijah, go. There's another king to come. There's another king for you to anoint. There is another prophet who will come behind you, and you need to go and anoint him. There are 7,000 who have not bowed to Baal, and yet you say you're the only one? You're not leaning on my understanding. You're seeing through your perspective, Elijah. Basically, Elijah, I see what you haven't seen. There's life ahead for you still. It's been hard, but it is not hopeless. Look to me again. Don't lean on your own understanding. Elijah's trust had been shaken. Disappointment and fear had gripped his heart, and he fled. But God wasn't done writing his story. As Elijah leaned on his own understanding, things looked hopeless. But God. Many times, life feels hopeless, but there's still hope because but God. There is a but God in your story. He was working to make even this rocky path straight. Elijah needed to put his trust back in God. We need to remember that with God, there's still hope. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that and allow God to whisper into the hurting, disappointed, tired places of our hearts, to speak his life, to speak his perspective, to speak his hope. It is not over. God is still good. He sees the full picture that we cannot see. So be aware, when heartache and disappointments, exhaustion come, keep looking at God. Keep looking at who he is. Don't lose your fear of the Lord because he is God and we are not. Keep placing your trust in him. The second thing that can keep us from trusting God is fear. I want to talk about Peter. This is such a famous story amongst Christians. Peter walking on the water out to Jesus in the middle of a storm. Peter, the fisherman who had tenacious faith. This story is found in Matthew 14. The disciples have just been with Jesus. They witnessed another miracle as he fed 5,000 people with minuscule amount of fish and bread. And immediately after this miracle, Jesus sends the disciples off alone in a boat to go to the other side. And he goes up the mountain to pray. And evening comes and the storm is raging. The winds are blowing and they are rowing and rowing and rowing and they are not getting anywhere. And Jesus sees them and walks out on the water. They see him coming and they're terrified. They think it's a ghost. But Jesus says, no, don't worry. It's me. Don't be afraid. And I love Peter's response. Matthew 14, 28 to 32. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. All Jesus had to say was, "Come," and Peter's there. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Peter has this great trust in the Lord. He fears the Lord. He has seen what Jesus can do. He has a sense of awe and wonder. He hears the voice of his Lord beckoning him, so he jumps out of the boat and he's walking on the water. He's walking out to Jesus, but then all of a sudden, I think his own understanding starts to kick in. He sees the wind, he sees the waves, and he's afraid. I think his mind is like, whoa, what is happening? What do you think you're doing, Peter? What are you doing? The wind. And he sinks because his fear is all of a sudden what he's focused on. He's not leaning into Jesus anymore. He's leaning on his own understanding. And yet the moment he cries out, the moment he says, "Jesus, save me," guess who's right there? His hand pulls him up. But Peter had to reach and grasp Jesus's hand. And then together they walk to the boat. He had to let go of his fear and grasp Jesus' hand. He had faith to begin, but fear came in the middle of the storm. I've been there. I've had faith to start. The beginning's exciting. I've had faith to step out and start moving. But then all of a sudden, I see the circumstances, and I start to look at those, and I start to see this and this, and what about this, and what if, and how, and why, and I find myself beginning to sink. And that's when I have to shift again and be like, "Jesus, I trust you. Come to me. Help me see this through your perspective." And I think there's a story in here for us that when we lean on our own understanding, when we lean into fear, we can start to sink. And it can rob what God wants to do. But he is right there because he is gracious and he is faithful. Maybe it's time for you to acknowledge God again today in every circumstance you find yourself in, the good ones, the bad ones, to remember who he is, who he's called you to be, to stop leaning on your own understanding and look to him, the author and perfecter of your faith. And you want to know what is the perfect antidote to fear? It's love. God's perfect love. If we fixed our attention on fear, on circumstances, on what we don't understand, our past experiences alone, then we very quickly hold fear. Anxiety builds, and fear can make us do and say some pretty stupid things, like holding on to a wall when there is a secure rope ready to take our weight. When we hold on to fear and we look at everything going on through that lens, the lens of fear, we can very quickly begin to be filled with fear, anxiety, depression, worry. And those things bring death. Not necessarily literally, but they definitely don't bring us life or hope. We stop looking at Jesus. We stop holding on to Jesus as our lifeline, as our security, and we start missing out on the life that he has right in front of us and what he is doing right now. He's offering a better way, but we have to let go of our own way and hold him. We have to stop leaning on our own understanding. We have to hold on to him and his love. His love is a gift that is offered to each one of us. He wants to do amazing things in our lives. The gifts of the Spirit, joy, peace, faith, self-control, love, amongst other things. They're available to every single one of us. 1 John 4:15 to 18 says, "If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence." There's that confidence word again. "On the day of judgment. In this world, we're like Jesus. There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Who's perfect love? God. God is love. Perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. True love drives out fear, but you can't grip the fear. You must let go and hold on to something else. The fear needs to be replaced with something else. Fear has to do with punishment, with death, with getting hurt, with pain, but none of those things are actually the end for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the end for us is eternity with God, our Savior, eternity where there is no pain and suffering. Do you hear that? It's not our end. When you know the perfect love of God, it drives out fear. Let go of fear and instead grip the love of God. And the last area I want to quickly focus on today that can keep us from trusting God with our whole heart is this. The voices that we choose to listen to can affect our trust. And I want to quickly talk to you about trust in God was mocked. Matthew 27:42-43 says, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him." He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he did say, "I am the Son of God." Yet Jesus knew that death on the cross was not his end. He could trust God through this hardship, regardless of how it looked to others, because he knew where his hope and his trust was placed. It was in God. Didn't matter how it looked to others, because he knew God knew the end of the story. God would bring him through. He could trust God. He would rise again. He would defeat death. He would provide a way where before there was no way. He knew that. He could have begun to listen to those voices, those mockers. Ah, look at him. He trusts in God. Let God save him now. Let's see if there really is a God. But Jesus knew what voice to listen to. As believers, we too need to remember when hardships come, when disappointments come, when fear wants to win, we can still trust God to give us strength to make it to the other side. He sees what we can't see, and he is preparing a place for us to be with him, to be free from pain and suffering. We have hope in the cross of Jesus Christ. That is why we can trust in God with all of our heart. That is why we can fear the Lord. That is why we don't need to lean on our own understanding. Be careful what voice you are allowing to influence your life and your faith during these times. Because when times are tough, the enemy will likely begin to mock your trust. You thought God was going to come through for you, didn't you? Where's your God now? You thought you wouldn't have to go through this, and here you are. Where's your God now? Yeah, good thing you put your trust in this almighty God. Have any of you heard that voice? I have. Be careful what voice you're listening to. Jesus could have listened to the mockers. He could have turned away from the Father, but he remembered who God is. He remembered the character of God. He remembered that this was not the end of the story. There was great victory on the other side. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge God in every situation. When Elijah leaned on his own understanding, he fled. When Peter leaned on his own understanding, he sunk. When I leaned on my own understanding, I looked like a fool. When we try to lean on our own understanding and we leave God out of the picture, it doesn't end well. See, God isn't asking us to never use our minds. He gave us our minds and he gave us the ability to think. But it is important that we aren't elevating our thoughts above God's thoughts. It's important to remember that our thoughts are limited, that we don't have a full understanding. Our understanding is limited, so we can't rely on our understanding. We need to acknowledge God in every circumstance. In every circumstance, God, who are you in this situation? I acknowledge you. What do you want me to do? How do I move forward? Acknowledge God in every circumstance. Trust in him with all your heart. Are you struggling in your faith today? Cry out to God. Are you wrestling with fear? Cry out to him. There's a lot in our world that can cause us to pick up fear and hold on to fear and look at circumstances. Cry out to God. What does he want you to see? What does he want to show you? Are you battling disappointment or discouragement? Cry out to God today. Put your trust in him again this morning. And I believe that he is right there, just like he was for Peter, ready to grasp your hand and lift you up. But you have to be willing to let go of what you're holding. You have to be willing to let go. I had to be willing to let go of the wall. Are you willing? There is a promise that God will make our paths straight if we will trust him with our whole hearts, if we will fear him and ask him to be our help and our life and our strength. This is where true life is found. True life is found in trust and surrender to the Lord. That's where life is found. Psalm 115:11 says, "You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord, because he is their help and their shield." Fear and trust, hand in hand. Those who fear the Lord, trust in him, because he is their help and their shield. He wants to be your help and your shield today. But are you willing to let go of everything else you try holding on to? Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to look to him and have him reveal who he is? I challenge you to look at your life today and look at what it is you are holding on to. Are there things that God is asking you today to let go of so that instead you can choose trust and hold on to him? He wants to be your lifeline. He wants to walk with you through every situation and circumstance you might face. He is right there. Choose trust today. I'm going to ask you all to just stand and close your eyes for a minute. I just don't want to end today without giving you an opportunity. If you are in this room and you're hearing about Jesus and his great love and trust and this trust that leads to life, and that he gave his life, death on a cross for you. He chose you because he loves you and he wants to offer you a better way. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Trust in me. Come to me." And maybe you're here this morning and for the first time, you want to come to God and say, I acknowledge that Jesus is God. And I want to say, Jesus, you are God, and I want to choose to live for you. I don't want to let this morning pass without at least giving that opportunity. So I'm going to ask everybody to just bow your heads, close your eyes. And if that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. The lights are really bright up here, so it's hard for me to see. So just put it up high enough so that I can see if there's anybody out there that you've come this morning and you want to choose Jesus. All right, and now I just want to pray with you guys before I dismiss you. If you need somebody to pray with you, I'm here, I'm available. There are other people who would be willing to pray with you if you need help to let go. But I just want to pray over you, and I just want to challenge you that this week to take some time to examine your heart, to examine what you're holding on to examine what is affecting your trust and how you're living life. Are you living a life with surrender to Jesus, allowing him to direct your steps, allowing him to make your path straight? Are you taking control, and are you making the ride tougher than it needs to be? So take some time this week. Those are big questions to ask and to wrestle with, and allow God to show you, and allow yourself to let go and instead hold him. To read scripture that would talk about who God is, what he has done, his wonder and majesty. Take some time to remember times in your own life where he has come through for you. Because sometimes we forget. It's so easy to forget when the waves start to swirl around us. So I'm just going to pray, and then I'll dismiss you guys to go, or if you would like some prayer, feel free to come up. So Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for us. I thank you that you died and rose again, that you gave your life so that we would have life. I thank you that you are worthy of our trust, that you are worthy of our affection, that we can trust you, that when we let go and hold you, there is safety, there is security, there is a refuge, there is a fountain of life. You are good. I thank you that you are so, so good, God. Would you go with us today? And God, would you help us to let go of the things we have a tendency to hold on to? Sometimes we were even walking and holding you, but then all of a sudden something happened and we started holding something else. And God, would we let go and would we hold you? Would we have full trust and surrender in you? Would we fear the Lord above all else? Because that is what brings life. I thank you, God, for who you are. Go with us this morning. Amen.